Hello, everybody, and welcome to the fifth episode of Collegeville Conversation. As always, I'm your host, Jason Phelan. Now, today, I have a very special guest today. He's one of my closest friends, and he's a huge baseball enthusiast. Plays for Lebanon Valley Baseball, my good friend, Tommy Moore. Tommy, how are you?
Good. How are you, JP?
Very, very good. Now, you're a huge baseball fan. The MLB is back. How do we feel about it so far?
Well, it's good that it's back, but it's more of a question of is it going to stay? The Marlins have had 10-plus players and multiple staff be infected with COVID. Phillies had one of their employees that worked in the dugout during that series also infected with COVID. So it's more a question of, in my opinion, how long is it going to last? Because there's no NBA bubble or NHL bubble for the MLB because they're still traveling and you can't trust every player to stay inside their quarters of their hotel.
Right. And you know, it speaks levels because on a baseball diamond, the players are very, very fairly spaced apart. And so, you know, you just got to trust that the players are going to be responsible with it.
Exactly. There's an example in the opening series with the Cubs and the Brewers. I think Arcia, the shortstop of the Brewers, got on first, and Anthony Rizzo pulled out hand sanitizer and made him use it just to stay safe. Kind of a funny gig, but I mean, it proves a point. It's a real purpose.
That's true. I thought that was pretty hilarious myself.
Yeah, definitely.
So, we got with this 60-game season kicking off. You gotta think that the races and the divisions are going to be close, right?
Yeah, I think I don't think there's going to be a team more than 8 to 10 games back. I mean, 10 games back, you're talking maybe the Orioles, the Tigers, the Royals. But other than that, I mean, I really think every team has a shot.
Yeah, but it's just a matter of they gotta get going very quickly if they want to win the division.
You got to get going and you got to stay going. And if there's guys that aren't working out for you, i.e. Craig Kimbrell and with the Cubs, if you saw what he did yesterday, if it was 4 walks, 2 hit-by-pitches, 1 ground out, almost blew the save, but Jeremy Jeffress came in and closed the door, bases loaded, 1 out. I mean, I don't know how long Kimbrell's going to stay around there after that performance, or at least stay as the closer.
Right, and he's been once known as an elite closer in the MLB. Probably the most elite after Mariano Rivera retired. And, you know, teams like the Phillies, like Aaron Nola is supposed to be their ace, and he was having a pretty quality start at first, but towards the fifth inning, he just lost his best stuff.
Yeah, I'm not sure. 2017 Nola? No,
2018 Nola. 2018 that was when he was an all-star.
He was third in Cy Young, yeah. ERA under 3. I mean, you really saw the glimmer that he really was really looked like he could be a number one, but last year he looked more of a number two. This year, I mean, through one start's not much to say, but Joe Girardi really thinks that the two most important starts are the first start of the year for each guy and the first start after the All-Star break, because that's what you're not in that game rhythm. You're not in that 5-day rest period rhythm. So it's just to see how important that is, how your stuff is, and how you can control the strike zone. And I say Aaron Nola did a decent job. Very good job by Zach Wheeler. I mean, we saw Velasquez got a 4-0 lead. Kind of just dwindled it away in the second inning. It was not very good to see. And Philly's bullpen's pretty bad. I mean, I think we have a bottom 5 staff in baseball. I don't think there's any question about that.
Absolutely.
That's the one thing holding us back from being a 35-25 win team.
Absolutely. There's also no better pitcher than first inning Vince Velasquez, too.
Don't worry about it.
Plus, how about Shohei Ohtani? I know it's his first time pitching in a very, very long time, but, you know.
Yeah, his velo was down. He was throwing like 92-94 rather than being up near 97, touching 100. I think he had 3 walks, 3 hits, 5 earned. Just ugly. Didn't record an out. Just not what you expect to see out of Shohei Ohtani. You figure that the Angels are going to give him 1 or 2 more starts because they're really thin as starting pitchers. I know Dylan Bundy, an offseason acquisition, stepped up in his first start. Andrew Heaney was pretty good in his start on opening day. But, I mean, I don't know how that Angels team is going to be this year. I feel like they have the lineup to do it, but they're in the same case as the Phillies. I don't know if their pitching staff can get them to the next level.
I just really hope they don't waste Mike Trout's prime, too.
I would love to see Mike Trout in the playoffs. Every baseball fan wants to see Mike Trout in the playoffs.
I want to see him win a World Series, actually.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So let's get right into predictions. For division winners, who do you have? I have, for the NL East, I would choose the Nationals to repeat as a division winners.
The NL East, you have the Nats. I have the Nats because the new format now, there's two teams from each division. I have the Nats finishing second behind the Atlanta Braves.
Mm-hmm. I was struggling to choose between the Braves and the Nationals, but what would put the Nationals above the Braves for me was the fact that the Nationals still have great pitching with Max Scherzer and Patrick Corbin and Steven Strasburg.
Exactly. I mean, they do have probably the top starting rotation in baseball. But the Braves, they're a very young staff. They have Mike Soroka, Max Fried. They just have a bunch of guys that have gone out and contributed. They contributed last year. Max Fried had a good start. So did Soroka. And I just feel like the Braves have very good bats. And I feel like it's going to be a really tight race, but I see the Braves pulling ahead.
It's also going to be exciting in the next couple of years, battles between the two young stars, Juan Soto and Ronald Acuña Jr. Those guys are only going to get better.
Most definitely. Acuña's there for, I think, he signed a 5-year, $100 million deal mm-hmm. 2 years ago. I don't think Soto signed an extension, has he?
No, he was only in his rookie season last year.
Yeah, he'll end up probably signing an extension there. That's what I would think. But I'm planning to watch that matchup on ESPN and Sunday Night Baseball a lot.
Oh, yeah, for years to come.
Definitely.
For the NL West, I had the Dodgers winning it.
That's the easiest pick here. The Dodgers could beat every team in their division by 10 games. The Dodgers are that good. The Dodgers could win 45 games this year. They're just the three-headed monster. I'm going to say three-headed monster because I really think Julio Urias is a really good pitcher. Like Kershaw, Buehler, and Urias. Their bullpen is good, not great, but still, the lineup.
Mookie Betts, Cody Bellinger, Corey Seager.
Yeah, when your first three hitters are Max Muncy, Mookie Betts, and Cody Bellinger, that's feared by every pitcher in the league. Oh, yeah.
They got no excuse to not win a World Series with that lineup.
Especially now. I mean, they've been short so many times. But, I mean, every year it's kind of like, oh, this is the Dodgers here. This is the Dodgers here. They got this small player. Like last year, they got A.J. Pollock.
Yeah.
They got Mookie Betts this year. If they don't win it this year, I know this championship, it's not going to mean as much in the long term because it's 60-game season.
Right.
The whole shebang. There could be just different teams playing. It's weird. I'm not a big fan of how the format is, but, I mean, I'm happy there's baseball.
Yeah. Plus with the Dodgers, Kershaw's just got to turn it around in the playoffs and what he's done in recent seasons. I think that the Dodgers would be in the World Series last year if he didn't choke.
I would agree with that. I would have thought the Dodgers would have made the World Series. I mean, nobody thought the Nationals would make the World Series.
No.
19-31 in the middle of May, and then just the rest was history from there. But I'm curious who, because there's two teams coming out of each division, who comes out of the NL West as that second team?
As that second team?
I have the San Diego Padres over the Colorado Rockies. I don't think the other teams in the division really have a chance. But I think the Padres have the best bullpen in baseball, led by Kirby Yates, the Hawaiian closer. I think their lineup's up and coming. They have a couple young studs that are hitting, and they have Mackenzie Gore and Bruce Patino that are going to come up, if not this year, next year. But Chris Paddock's their ace. He's going to be their ace for a little bit there. I feel like the Padres could be a surprise team in this little playoff run.
Yeah.
That's going to be a 16-team tournament. I would not be surprised if the Padres go farther than people expect them to.
Not to mention they're off to a hot start right now, and they got Manny Machado along with veteran bats like Eric Hosmer.
Yeah, Hosmer, Will Myers is there. There's guys that have been around winning baseball in that program. So you just hope to see San Diego Padres in the playoffs. I think that'd be very cool. I think the city of San Diego needs that now that they lost the Chargers.
Absolutely. For the NL Central, I had the Cardinals winning that division.
I do too. I think the Cardinals are the best team in that division. I think Jack Flaherty's a great ace. He's a top 10 starter in baseball. Kyle Hendricks is also a great ace for the Cubs. But I think every asset of the Cardinals is slightly better than the Cubs.
Oh, yeah.
That's leading me to say the Cardinals are going to win that division.
Plus, the Cardinals got Paul Goldschmidt, too, at first base.
Yeah, he's gotten off to a hot start. First two games, he had two bombs. I just really see this is a good lineup they have in St. Louis. I feel like it can compete with any lineup in the league. Very underrated lineup. Mm-hmm. And a lot of speed in that lineup, too. Harrison Bader's in there, Tommy Edman.
Mm-hmm. I think the I think the Cubs have underachieved since winning that World Series.
Most definitely. A little bit.
With the talent they have, Anthony Rizzo, Javi Baez. And, yeah, like you said, Kyle Hendricks.
Yeah, now that Yu Darvish has kind of stepped up. Last year, he was insane in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel the starting rotation in Chicago could... That's going to be the part that gets that could get them the division title or get them to fall out of the playoffs if the Brewers are having a good season.
Oh, for sure. Do you think people are sleeping on the Brewers a little bit right
Not
now?
Not at all. I watched that Brewers-Cubs series a lot, and just looking at their lineup, it's Christian Yelich, and it's kind of just a bunch of nobodies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They don't have Moustakas anymore. They don't have Grandal anymore. I mean, I'm seeing Eric Sogard in the lineup, and I'm just thinking Eric Sogard's hitting... I think Eric Sogard was sitting behind Yelich, and I'm just like, I don't want Yelich being protected, or Eric Sogard being protected by Yelich.
Yeah.
I just feel like there's one weapon in the lineup, and I just don't think they have what it takes. I mean, they have a pretty good young 1-2 punch with Brandon Woodruff and Corbin Burns, but I just don't see the Brewers really taking that step to be a division winner this year.
I agree. Now to the AL. To me, for the AL East, I have the Yankees coming out on top.
See, you have the Yankees. I think the Yankees are a little overhyped.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have a great roster.
Yeah.
But I love the Tampa Bay Rays this year. Love the Rays. Charlie Morton, Blake Snell. Right up there with the top 1-2 punch in the league. You mm-hmm. have other guys in the lineup that can produce day in and day out. They have a lot of different... Their lineup's deep like the Reds. They can play... They can start four different guys the next day and still put up 8-9 runs each game.
Right.
They're just very dangerous lineup. They have a damn good bullpen. They struck the Braves out 19 times yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think... I think the Tampa Bay Rays are very underrated and very dangerous.
They're definitely better than people think they are. And, you know, with I can see where you're coming from with the Yankees being overhyped because, you know, they're the Yankees, the New York Yankees. They did sign Gerrit Cole, but I think Stanton is a little bit overrated as a hitter in a way because there were some points that season last year where he just really didn't get it done in clutch moments when they needed him to.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that injury kind of took Stanton's season away last year, but I don't know if you – did you see his 480-foot home run?
I did see that.
Absolute bomb. I mean
– the exit velocity on that was what, like 134?
It was 121, his second hardest, behind a bomb he hit in Miami with StatCast.
Jeez.
Which is just incredible. I feel like Giancarlo Stanton's going to have a bounce-back year. There's no comeback player of the year in baseball. I think that's an award they should add.
Mm-hmm.
I think Stanton would be the top guy for that right now.
Oh, for sure. All right, for AL West, I had the Astros.
I have the Houston Astros, too. I just think they're the best overall lineup in baseball. I mean, mm-hmm. you're talking one through seven, you could have Correa, Altuve, Bregman, Yordan Alvarez.
George Springer.
I mean, that's five. That's probably their top five guys right there in the lineup mm-hmm. as well.
Oh, yes.
And it's just scary. It's out of the Verlander injury. Nobody knows how long it is because it was reported that he's going to be out for the year, then 4+ weeks, then 2 weeks. So we don't... It sounds like it went from possible tear to just soreness. So we don't know mm-hmm. if Verlander's going to be there. But with the departure of Gerrit Cole, Greinke can fill the shoes of an ace. He's been an ace for a lot of his career.
Mm-hmm.
But Verlander's a big loss if they lose him for the year.
That's true. And we also don't really know how... People are starting to wonder how serious his elbow injury was, whether it was going to be Tommy John surgery, which hopefully that was not the case because Justin Verlander is a very... He's a generational talent in pitching.
Most definitely.
And he's proved that.
He's a Hall of... If he's done today, he's a surefire Hall
First
of Famer.
First ballot. Oh, yeah. And Greinke, I got to give it to him, his longevity to be as great as he is. I think he's a Hall of Famer in my book, if it were up to me.
Yeah, his stats are up there. He doesn't have the rings, but his stats are up there. I mean, he's just been consistent year in and year out. A couple years there, he'd have an ERA under 2, ERA at 2-1, 2-2. Just the consistency. He's consistently dominant throughout his career, and that's what gets you in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
So, we've hit on the East and the West.
Now,
in the Central, who do you have?
That was a little bit tricky for me, so I just went with the Twins on this one.
I love the Twins. I'm a big Twins fan. I can't say a big Twins fan. I'm a fan of the team. But the one question mark there is their starting rotation. They have Jose Berríos, who I think is an absolute stud. Their lineup, I mean, we know how good their lineup is.
Yes.
I think they had like 2 10-run games in 4 games so far. Nelson Cruz at age 40 is 3 home runs this year. I mean, the lineup, they have the most home runs ever in a season. The lineup is the best. I mean, they can compete with any lineup. Their bullpen's pretty good. Taylor Rogers is a good closer. It's just a matter of if they can get their starters going 6 or 7 innings, and then they can get a setup guy and Rogers in.
Right. I think it's awesome to see, like, with Nelson Cruz, he's had probably his best season, like, in his late 30s.
Yeah, I mean, he's playing his best ball in his late 30s. Usually pitchers are getting better with age, and we're seeing the prime of position players go down.
Mm-hmm.
But Nelson Cruz is consistently hitting bombs at any age. I mean, there's no signs of him slowing down. And now, if there's a universal DH, there's no reason for Nelson Cruz to retire, because he knows he's not going to throw a baseball, and all that matters is his swing.
That's right.
And his swing's been damn good for a lot of years. So Nelson Cruz could be a... If he wanted to play till age 45, I don't see why he couldn't.
Right. And the universal DH, if that's implemented, that's going to extend the careers of a lot of players.
Most definitely. It's Christmas. And we ended up... I ended up looking at some stats yesterday with the Twins. I think they had... They either had 6 or 7 guys hit 20-plus home runs last year.
Mm-hmm.
And... Just looking through some of their box scores, they'll have like 7. It'll be a game they win like 7-4. 5 guys go deep.
Right.
I mean, they're not really a team that gets a lot of hits going. They don't have 14 hit games and score 6 runs.
Right.
They could have 9 hit games and score 10 runs. They have just one swing in the bat can really just change everything with that team, and that's why they're my favorite in the AL. I think that would be my World Series pick right now.
The Twins?
Mm-hmm.
That's not a bad pick at all. Speaking of World Series picks, let's move on to the NLCS, ALCS, and World Series predictions. Let's start with the Championship Series predictions. For the NLCS, I have Dodgers versus Nationals for that one.
I also have the Dodgers, but I have the Dodgers facing the Braves.
Mm.
I think there's something with the Braves. I feel like they're going to get over the hump this year. I know game 5 of the NLDS last year, Fulton Evans gave up 10 runs in the first inning to the Cardinals. There's no recovering from 10 runs in the first.
Oh, no.
But I feel like the Braves, shortened season, a bunch of good guys with lively arms. If their sticks are hot, I feel the Braves could really make a run and get to that championship series.
Mm-hmm. I agree wholeheartedly. For the ALCS prediction, I had Yankees versus Astros again this year.
You have Yankees, Astros. I have none. Yes. I don't have either team in my ALCS.
Who do you got?
I have the Cleveland Indians and the Minnesota Twins, the battle of the AL Central.
That's not a bad idea. Not a bad battle at all.
I love the Clevinger, Bieber, Carrasco 1-2-3.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's going to be a 3-game series, I think, until the championship series this year, maybe 3-game series for all of it. But those three pitching in a series, I like them better than anybody. And they'll just move Simber and Seville to the bullpen for long relief, if anybody. Because it's playoffs. I mean, guys are going to get in trouble. That happens. It's just a matter of if you can contain it. And those are some really good starters to be fourth and fifth starters, or probably second or third starters if they're on the Phillies. But I just feel like the Indians are poised, and they have an underrated lineup. Jose Ramirez had a very bad year last year. 2018, he looked like he was going to be a top ten player. Last year, he just kind of fell off the map. He had a 2-home run game a couple of days ago. I feel like that lineup could get back. 3 switch hitters at the top. Carlos Santana, always the high OPS numbers, high on-base percentage.
And the former Philly as well.
And former Philly playing second base there, Cesar Hernandez. Yep. I think he's actually their leadoff, and that's a 4th switch hitter. So that's, I mean, a lot of flexibility with the lineup there. I like the Indians this year a lot.
I have to agree. They lost a... Did they still have Kluber? They lost Kluber.
They lost Kluber. They traded Kluber to... It was probably the worst baseball trade in the last 6 or 7 years. They traded Kluber to the Rangers for Emmanuel Clase, who is suspended 80 games for PEDs, which means he can't play the whole year.
Right.
And Delino DeShields, who something happened with him. Maybe he got COVID or something.
Yeah.
Or maybe he just flat out sucks. I know he hits like 220, and he's a good defensive outfielder, kind of like Brett Phillips of the Royals. But I don't know. Wasn't a great trade. I know Kluber's out 4 weeks or two. Mm-hmm. He's out for a significant amount of time for this season. Pitch an inning, soreness, now he's hurt. Unfortunate. The trade just didn't go the way any team wanted, but, I mean, that's just sometimes how it works.
That's how it works in baseball and sports in general. Sometimes you lose trades, sometimes you win them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes nobody wins them, actually.
Exactly. All right, so in your World Series, who do you have?
I have Yankees and Dodgers this time. I think this is the World Series that the MLB's been wanting, considering they're two big market teams and they're both talented rosters.
Yeah, I think both rosters are at the best they've been over the past 6 or 7 years. Looking at this, I do have the Twins, but I could also see the Indians making it. I'm not. Mm-hmm. The Dodgers were my right-hand pick right when they signed Betts.
Right.
I mean, there's no other team I could have picked. I have the Dodgers winning. It's just a matter of who comes out of the American League.
That's true. I think Kershaw's on the IR, right? I'm pretty sure.
He got put on the IR after his opening day start. He got scratched for back stiffness. Mm-hmm. He's on the IR for a little bit. But Walker Buehler's just an absolute stud. He took over the Rangers ace, I believe. And if he hasn't yet, he's going to this year with part of his absence. I think Walker Buehler's the next, like, dominant Clayton Kershaw-type pitcher in baseball.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would have to agree. Who do you have for your...
Dodgers.
You have Dodgers? I have the Yankees winning the World Series.
I would not want to see the Yankees win number 28. I'd rather the Dodgers win.
But
the rosters both teams have, it seems like they're poised to get there at least.
I think if Kershaw comes back healthy, if this were to be the series, then I think that it would put the Dodgers over the edge.
Yeah, but I mean, I hate talking about Kershaw's playoff history, but CRA is damn near 5. He's not himself in the playoffs. He still hasn't found it. Hopefully he finds it this year. I'd love to see Clayton Kershaw go out in a World Series game. It's just 7 innings, 1 hit, 1 run maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Just dominant, but I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's going to happen. He just struggles in the playoffs, which is unfortunate.
Just hope to see him win one, especially with the resume that he has. He's got a handful of Cy Youngs. He's got an MVP award, too.
Exactly. I mean, that would just... He's probably already a first ballot Hall of Famer. You put a ring to his name, he's a...
Definitely.
He's damn near. He could be unanimous.
Think so? Yeah. That would be a pretty interesting case.
Probably wouldn't sit well with the committee who votes for it.
Mm-hmm.
Mariano Rivera was the only one who's ever been unanimous, which I think Jeter should have been.
Jeter definitely should have been. That, I think it was like one person didn't vote for him.
Yeah.
That's an atrocity, though.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I want to hear that guy's reasoning, though, for not voting for him.
It's probably the sole fact that they don't have two, and it's just one guy for a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Trout would be number two. I think if Trout retired today, he's a unanimous vote.
Oh, yeah. I think Trout can be the greatest baseball player ever at the end of his career if he keeps it this pace.
It's the pace at which he's going at, which is pretty cool. All right, so you want to hit on the award winners?
Oh, yeah. Let's get right into that.
All right, so for my MVP of the American League, I think it's a no-brainer, Mike Trout.
Oh, yeah, I had that too. Good. I agree.
And for the sake of – I also picked an underdog. I picked multiple underdog players that could win it.
Okay.
Matt Chapman, third baseman for the A's. High power numbers last year. 1A, 1B, best third baseman in the field with Arenado. I just feel Chapman can hit 280, 290, hit 14, 15, 16 bombs, drive in some runs in the middle of that order. He could be really dangerous. And I also have Aroldis Chapman on this list. Ooh, Aroldis Chapman could throw like 16, 17 innings, have that many saves, ERA at like a 0.5, and just assert dominance. There's always relievers. I think Roberto Osuna last year had like 19 innings and his ERA was like a 1.08, something crazy. I just feel like there could be serious consideration for a pitcher or a closer to be an MVP this year.
Has that ever happened before? A reliever winning the MVP?
I don't know if a reliever's won an MVP. I know Eric Gagne, closer for
the Dodgers.
Dodgers won, I think it was 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 2007. I don't know why I'm thinking 2007, but I think it was 2004.
Yes.
I don't know if a reliever's ever won MVP. But, I mean, Aroldis Chapman is one of my dark horse picks.
That's pretty interesting. Plus, with relievers winning MVPs, with K-Rod breaking the single-season saves record with 62 back in, what, 2008?
2008, yeah.
He could have won that MVP that year with consideration.
Yeah, so he definitely got some votes that year, but 2008 NL MVP. I know Pedroia won the AL MVP. I do not know who won the NL. But I'd like to go back and look at that voting and see where he fell. He was probably top three, maybe fourth.
He had to have gotten votes.
Yeah, he definitely had to have some consideration. So for your National League MVP, who do you have?
I had Ronald Acuna Jr.
I also have Ronald Acuna. A lot of guys are picking Soto this year. I just don't see Soto having an MVP-type season. I mean, he's a very, very good player. I just don't know if he can get over that hump.
I think he will win an MVP at some point in his career, but just not yet.
It's just a matter of when.
Maybe next year, possibly. Could be. With a full season as well?
Yep.
That's going to be interesting. Who do you have for Cy Young?
Which league?
For AL.
AL Cy Young, I have two names down. You're probably expecting me to say Gerrit Cole, and I'm not going to say Gerrit Cole.
That's who I had.
I have the two killer bees. I have Jose Berríos and Shane Bieber. Twins, Jose Berríos. Just both guys are high strikeout guys. Good command, low walks. Usually go 6-7 innings. Bieber had 14 Ks in 6 innings in his first start, which is pretty incredible. And I feel both of these teams could have very good records. And I feel if there's a real performance boost with these guys, it could translate to their record being a lot better and these guys get more recognition.
That's true.
Because I'd say Berríos and Bieber, I mean, you look at pitchers now. Pitchers are in their prime around 30 to 33.
Right.
Both of these guys are mid-20s in age. So I feel they could get the recognition they deserve now. And in my opinion, I only see these guys getting better.
Oh, yeah, with Shane Bieber? Definitely. I agree.
So you Gerrit Cole?
I'd Gerrit Cole for AL.
Why'd you pick Gerrit Cole?
I picked Gerrit Cole based off the sole consideration that he's in the AL. And I think that the division that he's in isn't as strong as the other divisions. Like, I think he only has to worry about the Rays in that division, because now the Red Sox don't have Mookie Betts. So their lineup isn't as strong as it once was, and that's part of the reason why I picked them.
Yeah, AL East definitely took a hit.
It definitely got weaker.
And I don't know. That definitely is going to help Gerrit Cole, but Gerrit Cole also does have to face the NL East, and I'd say the NL East is pretty strong. At least the top three teams are. I would put the Phillies as the fourth team right now. But, I mean, maybe even fifth. I don't know. The Marlins outplayed us in that series. But it'd be cool to see. It would be cool to see Gerrit Cole succeed.
For
the Yankee.
Yeah, it'd be cool. Especially with all that money they gave him. For NL, I picked Jacob deGrom.
Yeah, I figured you're going to pick Jake deGrom. deGrom was... I wanted to pick Jake deGrom. I really think deGrom's going to win it, but I picked Walker Buehler. I know he's dominant. He's going to have a low ERA. He's going to have high strikeouts. I think the Dodgers are going to have a stupid good record, like a 43-17, 44-45 wins. And I feel like if they're going to be 5 or 6 games above everyone else, I feel like the MVP has to come from that team.
Absolutely.
And it...
I think Walker Buehler could receive some consideration for that?
Yeah, I think Buehler could get MVP votes. I think if they're that good, he'll get the Cy Young, because if they're that good, he'll have to be that good.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So I feel like Walker Buehler definitely has a chance to win it.
Definitely a great choice. Now on to Rookie of the Year. Who'd you have for the AL?
For the AL, you probably have never heard of this guy. I picked Yoshitomo Susugo of the Tampa Bay Rays. He came over from Japan this offseason. The Rays signed him. I forget what his deal was. But he plays the corner infield, corner outfield. He had an opposite field home run in his first game. He just looks, he's middle of the lineup. He'll be a middle of the lineup guy all year. First game he played third, second game he played, he was the DH. Third game he was out and left.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they're going to find a spot for him. And I feel like if he produces, there's going to be no question he's the AL Rookie of the Year. The other guy that I'd think would be up there would be Luis Robert, but I don't know if his production will be up to the standards of Yoshitomi Tsutsugo.
Mm-hmm. For AL, I picked Wander Franco. I think that he's going to be a good contributor for an underrated Tampa Bay Rays team. He, in the minors, he would hit around the 300 mark, which is obviously something that you would want for any sort of hitter.
Definitely, 300. I mean, you're hitting around 300, you're an elite baseball player.
Oh, yeah. Who'd you have for NL?
So, at the beginning of the season, I went foreign with both of these. I had Shogo Akiyama of the Reds. But looking how deep they are and how they DFA'd Aquino and DFA'd Philip Irvin a few days ago, I just don't know if Akiyama's going to get the enough time to get consideration.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to pick Dustin May of the Dodgers. I think Dustin May had a good start, his first start on, I think he was supposed to start that day for the AAA affiliation of the Dodgers. So that's why it was easy to just slide him up.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like Dustin May is going to end up staying in the rotation for the rest of the year. And if he produces, because this is technically his rookie year,
right.
If he produces, I don't know if there's going to be anybody else to take it. I don't think, the one guy that I like is Dylan Carlson of the Cardinals, but he wasn't on the, he hasn't played yet. And I'm just not sure if, there's a lot of guys that could win it. It's just a matter of if they get the playing time.
Right.
To be considered.
For NL, for me, I chose Mackenzie Gore, pitcher from the San Diego Padres. I think that he's going to be a stud in the future, especially and help the Padres in the future. I think that the Padres go nowhere but up with this kid.
Definitely. I mean, Mackenzie Gore dominated through the minors. I believe he was the AAA pitcher of the year last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the kid definitely knows what he's doing. It's a matter of time before he's up in the league, and now he's up in the league. Especially with a shortened season like this where your arm's going to stay pretty fresh.
Mm-hmm.
The longevity issues don't exist. If you're going to have Paddock, Patino, Mackenzie Gore, Denelson LeMay, you're going to have those four in a rotation. That's scary. The Padres could really be something this year. I think that's a great pick.
Seems to me that the Padres are getting younger, too, a little bit.
Yeah, definitely are getting younger. Machado is... I still think Machado hasn't produced to his contract yet, but he's got a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be nice to see.
With Machado being 26, 27, he's just about hitting the prime for a position player. So we'll have to see what those years bring for him.
Exactly. He looked good in the Diamondback series. He had a home run in that series. A couple hits.
Mm-hmm.
It's good stuff.
Looking back, would you have rather the Phillies signed him or Harper?
Harper.
Absolutely. Who'd you have for manager of the year for the AL?
So the AL... I kind of had a 1A, 1B. I had Rocco Baldelli of the Twins, and I have Kevin Cash for the Rays. Mm-hmm. I think the Rays could be a surprise team. And if they're – I mean, there's a chance the Yankees could have, like, 44, 45 wins. I don't see the Rays getting that high.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're telling me the Yankees have 35 wins and the Rays have 40, 41, I feel like Kevin Cash needs real consideration.
I chose Go ahead.
I'm sorry about that. Rocco Baldelli's just – didn't he win it last year?
I'm not sure, actually.
I'm pretty sure he did because the Twins just went off last year.
Yeah.
But I feel like the Twins are just as good. They got Josh Donaldson to play third now. Sano is more their primary first baseman. I just feel that it's going to be pretty easy for Baldelli to win that award again if the lineup produces.
I chose Kevin Cash myself from the Tampa Bay Rays.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. He needs due consideration, especially the last few seasons that he's had. You know, bringing a Rays team that everyone thought would not finish as high as they did and win as much as they did. And at the end of the day, most of that comes back to the manager.
Exactly. They're the ones who put the lineup out. They have it's the manager's guys that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
They got to have trust in the manager in order to play well.
And,
I mean, I did not expect the Rays to win 90-plus games last year, and they did. I think they won 95. And they won the wild card game. The Rays are a real good team, and I still think they're underappreciated.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Now, for NL, who'd you have?
This is a no-brainer, Dave Roberts. They're the best team in the NL, best team on paper, best team on the field. Unless the Dodgers blow up, I don't think there's any chance. It's not anybody but Dave Roberts.
Now, hear me out on this. I chose Joe Girardi for this one.
Come on.
Hear me out on this one. For the sole purpose of the fact that with all the new additions that the Phillies got, and they underachieved last year. Everyone thought they were going to win the division last year.
Yeah, there was a lot of hype around that. I don't know if that was more hype around the Tri-County area,
mm-hmm.
or if that was like nationwide hype. But there was definitely some. There were definitely people that thought the Phillies would be taking that step into winning the division last year. I was not one of them. I knew they were a couple arms away, and they're still a couple arms away, and they're probably a stick or two away too. But I just want to hear your rationale.
That was the rationale. Plus, I don't think the lineup is really the issue with the Phillies' issues. Like we discussed before, it's all the pitching.
Yeah,
it's all the bullpen.
It's the pen. I think Eflin is a solid 4-5 starter. I don't think mm-hmm. Velasquez is going to last. He's a project we've been dealing with for 5 years. I think it's about 3 years too long if you're 28 and you don't have it figured out. If you can't go out after sitting there for about 30 minutes and you can't throw a cutter, you can't throw a curveball, and everything's flat, you can't throw a changeup, I don't know if you should be pitching in the major leagues.
Let alone the bullpen.
Exactly. Like Nick Pivetta, although he did hang a curveball to Dickerson, I like Nick Pivetta as a long reliever. His stuff moves a lot. He's decent. He's good enough control. I like him better than Velasquez.
That's one thing about all Philly sports, though, is we've become so emotionally attached to players that we just refuse to move on when it's time.
Yeah, I can totally agree with that. Philly fans do become emotionally attached with players.
Mm-hmm. So our next segment is, of course, all Philly's talk.
Oh, boy.
Now, I think we've touched a lot about on the Phillies already with this. I love the Didi Gregorius signing. I loved it the second we got him. He's actually the guy that I wanted us to get, other than Garrett Cole. But I like Didi's bat. I like how he is in the field. And he's already proven that already. He's already hit 2 home runs and made some flashy plays in the field.
Yeah, I like him a lot. Didi was one of those guys you look at. He's kind of like not the flashiest player. He's solid pro. I wouldn't expect the Phillies to go out and get a guy like that. That's exactly what they did. And I'm happy they did because they needed someone like that. And with them getting him, I think it just bolsters the lineup, gives us another lefty. I like how we're getting a little – this DH is here now, so we're going to be able to hit Harper, Bruce, and Didi in a kind of a row here. And I think that really is going to help out the lineup.
Absolutely, absolutely. Let's also hope that Rhys Hoskins hits for a higher average than he did last year.
Yeah.
His power's obviously there.
He's got consistency issues. He's got the best eye in baseball. I mean, 7 walks in a series, 116 walks last year.
Mm-hmm.
Most in the league.
He led the league, yeah.
Bryce Harper was, I think, 6th. But, I don't know. You gotta hit at least 250 if you're a first baseman. You can't hit 225. He did have a lot of home runs last year, though.
Mm-hmm.
But we need more RBI out of him. He's a middle-of-the-lineup guy.
Absolutely. Also, we haven't really touched on JT Realmuto. First things first, the Phillies need to extend his contract.
I was going to say, first things first, sign JT Realmuto. You can go ahead.
You can't just let the best catcher in baseball walk.
Especially when you trade for him, and he produces for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't just give up anybody. You gave up our starting catcher. Granted, Jorge Alfaro's not the best. He's pretty bad behind the plate,
mm-hmm.
but he's got a pretty good stick, and he's fast. Him and JT are probably the fastest two catchers in baseball. But if you're giving up a guy like Sixto Sanchez for JT and you're not going to sign JT back, because we didn't accomplish anything with JT.
Right.
God forbid, the only thing we would accomplish is if, I'd say we accomplished something this year, is if we win a playoff series.
Exactly.
And I don't think it's going to happen. You have a lot of optimism that it could happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like you have to sign JT Realmuto back.
That's absolutely the case. Plus, last year he hit, around 275, had 25 home runs, 83 RBIs. And he won the Silver Slugger and Gold Glove Award for being the catcher.
I mean, he's the... There's more defensive specialist catchers, but JT's the most sound catcher behind there. He's got the he throws people out left and right. He's got the best percentage of throwing people out.
40%.
Yeah, it just looks natural, and it's just really good to see when a guy can produce in the lineup and also be a rock behind the plate. There's not a lot of those guys like Mitch Garver, Gary Sanchez, guys that'll hit you 25 plus home runs mm-hmm. a season, but aren't the greatest behind the plate.
Right.
And now you have a guy like JT Realmuto, who's the best of both worlds. You have to sign him long term.
Right. Now the Phillies over under 35 games won.
Oh, under.
I'm definitely going under on that one.
I think the line should be at 28.5.
I agree.
And
with
I
that.
Probably would still say under. God, I love the Phillies. I'll watch every game. But the bullpen is atrocious.
Exactly.
I mean, I looked at this roster. First things first, the hype on Connor Brogdon during those inter-squad games mm-hmm. that we were playing, they made it seem like Connor Brogdon was the next big thing, 25-year-old righty. I mean, kid threw gas. He was making our good hitters look bad.
Right.
And he's not on the roster. Spencer Howard. Do I expect to see Spencer Howard up here? I don't know, because if we get to a point in the year where we're 8-11...
Then do you call him up?
Do you call him up? Do you want to just get Spencer Howard the work in the major leagues when they kind of know this season's going to go to shit?
Mm-hmm.
That's just... I don't know the answer to that. I don't know what I would do. But I just hope we're not in a situation where we're 8-11. I'd rather be 11-8.
Right.
But and if the way this team's playing, the way this bullpen is, I'd say we have four bullpen arms.
Four solid
Hector Neris, Tommy Hunter, Jose Alvarez, and Adam Morgan. I don't trust a single guy in the bullpen besides that.
I agree with you. I think Hector Neris is a more solid closer than people give him credit for.
Yeah, I mean, his ERA was under 3 last year. He didn't have many saves. I think he had like 26 or 28.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Hector Neris is just underappreciated. His problem is it's 4-seam, 2-seam split.
Yeah.
It's straight or down. You got to get something moving side to side. He needs a slider. If he were to develop a slider at age 31, there's no reason why he can't be a top 10 closer in baseball now. I'd say he's probably middle of the pack closer. No reason why he can't make that bump. But is he going to make that change? I do not know.
It's on him.
It is on him.
I'd like to see Alec Bohm in the majors, presumably next season. I don't think he's going to be coming up this season, depending on how it goes. But
I don't see Alec Bohm coming up this year, especially with Didi being on a 1-year deal. They love Scott Kingery, and Segura's on a 3-year deal. Segura's in the second year of his 3-year deal. There's nowhere to put Bohm, unless mm-hmm. Hoskins is just god awful.
And right.
I would not be surprised if they got rid of Hoskins to put Bohm at first, because Bohm's glove is the only thing questionable about him.
Right. And
I mean, just like the Blue Jays, the only thing questionable about Vlad Guerrero Jr. is his glove. They moved him to first. He already made a diving play. He hasn't made an error yet. There's been a couple, like, he's very good at scooping the ball out of the dirt during long throws. You just hope the position change comes, because having a rock at third base is so beneficial for a team, and mm-hmm. Alec Bohm doesn't really seem to be that guy.
And it seems like the Phillies haven't had a great third baseman since Mike Schmidt, actually.
Yeah,
they haven't had a steady third baseman.
I mean, they've had a bunch of guys like Placido Polanco,
Pedro
Scott
Feliz.
Rowland, Pedro Feliz. There's just been guys coming in and out of the organization for a couple years. Now, I mean, Segura's going to play third a lot. I think Kingery will have some games there. But, yeah, that steady guy that they're going to have at third base for 4 or 5 years plus, Bohm's going to hopefully be that guy, but I don't know if he's going to play first. It matters on how Hoskins does.
All right, yep. Now, let's touch on one more thing. A little bit about yourself, your baseball career.
Okay.
How has playing for PV, like, shaped and developed your game to prepare for Lebanon Valley?
So playing at PV was a good experience. It was, we were fortunate enough to play in a pretty good division.
Mm-hmm.
And a pretty good conference. The Pac, what were you, Pac-12 now? Was Pac-10 yeah, now
Pac-12? Was Pac-10, now Pac-12.
And especially having other pitchers on our team going to big-time D1 programs
mm-hmm.
and contributing, just knowing that I could feed off of them and ask them questions, just being able to learn from them every day helps. Right. I mean, I wish I'm a pitcher only in college now, but I kind of wish I was more of a pitcher only back then, so I could have just focused on that, because I know I took way too much time away from just trying to perfect my swing. I did not have a good swing. I wasn't a huge fan of hitting. There's no one took POs in travel ball and all that and school, so I just had to try and contribute in the lineup somewhere. I had one hit my senior year. It was a bunt single.
Oh yeah.
And I pitched fairly well. I didn't pitch much. I thought I should have pitched a lot more. Our coach told me before 2 weeks that I was going to start a certain game, and I never started it.
Mm-hmm.
One was Spring Ford, and we got 10 runs. The other was Pope John Paul. I ended up pitching the game before, which kind of made me mad, because those are two of the better teams. We lost both of those games. We started out 7-1 before spring break our senior year. Just a spring break was a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday we had off.
Mm-hmm.
We come back on the Tuesday. I think we went 9-7, so we went to what, 2-7, 2-8.
Right.
And wheels fell off. We played Ridley in the first round. 0-0 for the longest time. Get a run across 1-0. Our ace should have had the game one bad strike call. One runner comes in and scores, and then that extra innings, we go to the eighth. He's still in the game, about to be done pitching. I was told that I was starting the second game, mm-hmm. but knowing the coaching staff, I don't know. I didn't really trust him. So I ended up, I think he was at 95 pitches and you only get 100.
Yeah.
There was nobody warming up. And our coaches had no idea. And so I thought I was the second best pitcher on the team. I think other players on the team thought I was the second best pitcher on the team. But when they got a different kid up to go to the bullpen, I was irate. I was super pissed off. I didn't care about the result of the game. Like, after the game, it was the last time most of us played with each other. Tears were flowing, and I was so pissed off at the moment. I didn't cry, nothing. I was just really upset. It was really stupid, but at the moment I was pissed, because if that other kid were to go in a game and something would have happened, I would have just been like, oh, what if I was there? Because then I had one, quote-unquote, two big starts in high school. Mm-hmm. The first one was at Phoenixville. It was a great game. It was 1-1 going into the fifth. Gave up a bomb triple. Kid scored 2-1. I'm still at, 65 pitches. I was rolling. And then all of a sudden, it was like a little bloop hit, error, load the bases, 2-1, fly ball to left, kid just flat out misses it. They come around and score 5-1, we lose that game. And then under the lights at Boyertown, old minor league stadium, decent crowd there, probably Ram Stadium crowd, probably 100 people.
Yeah.
I pitched so well, and our catcher just got lazy behind the plate. Just started, I threw a lot of curveballs that game. He didn't really block balls. They got a lot of free bases. And they were really just, and any runner that got on, it kind of was just like, all right, you have second, you have third, because I go ahead of 0-1, or if I'm 1-1, usually curveball's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And if they know that, most guys are off. And so it was just, the two starts that mattered the most to me didn't go the way I wanted them to go, which is unfortunate. But, I mean, I learned a lot at PV, and PV helped, made a lot of relationships there.
Right.
Friends for life. Just moments to talk about for life. And, I'm just grateful for my time. I know when I was in 10th grade, my dad went to Norristown High.
Yeah.
His first 2 years of high school, and then went to Malvern Prep. And my dad asked me if I wanted to do the same, and I said no, because I love the people I was around, and I'm happy I didn't do that. And, I don't know, just PV baseball. I wish I was more of a contributor. But I definitely enjoyed my time there. And PV baseball wasn't really... Most sports, you gotta kind of go through your school season and you have scouts go to your school games.
Yeah.
For baseball, it's not really that way. It's more during your summer, and it's more you go to showcases.
With Legion and all that?
I wouldn't even say Legion. I'd say, like, the AAU and travel teams, the quote-unquote pay-to-play teams.
Oh, okay.
There'd be people paying $2,000 to $3,000 to go play on some team that has this big facility. They'll go down to Atlanta, Georgia. They'll go down to Florida. They'll go to Virginia to play in these big tournaments with mm-hmm. big-time scouts. And 80% of the guys don't get looked at all. And so that's why I was smart, and I picked and chose what camps I went to. It was my summer going into my senior year. I wasn't very good at baseball until junior year. That's when I really grew, mm-hmm. and I got a lot stronger. And I ended up that summer, I remember the date was August 1st.
Yeah.
And there's a camp I did not want to go to. It was in the middle of Pennsylvania. We were going to the beach after. It was a 4.5 hour drive to the beach.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We drove 2 hours at stupid ass o'clock in the morning, probably like 4 or 5 in the morning. Camp started at 8 a.m. I was leaps and bounds by far the best player there.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, I wasn't even that good. There was just not many good players there. And so I just started mowing people down. And I don't know, obviously it made me feel good. But then I ended up getting emails and texts from a bunch of coaches that were there. I mean, it ended up being like St. Joe's, Pitt, like Penn State, Maine. And I knew if I wanted to go and play baseball in school, I'd want to have to actually show up and play rather than waiting 2 years and getting a chance and God forbid I fuck up my chance.
Yeah.
And I'm not, I pitched 10 innings in my college career. Like, I want to actually play.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it's all about, with college, it's all about the right fit. Exactly. instead of the hype of the name.
Exactly. No matter if you're playing a sport or not, it's a matter of how you feel in the atmosphere. It doesn't matter. God forbid I were to submit my application to Stanford,
mm-hmm.
and I live in Pennsylvania and I get into Stanford. And right when I hear from Stanford, it's like, all right, I don't know anything about this school. I'm going to Stanford.
Right.
And, like, if that's not the right fit for you, you're literally on the other side of the country. Like, there's nothing you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so just the good thing was all the options that I had for baseball were relatively close. Some in Pennsylvania, some in Maryland. And when I go to, like, the team specific camps on their fields, I went to 4 of them. LVC's was the only one that I actually enjoyed.
Right.
The other ones, there was one camp, I'm not going to say what team it was for, where 8 a.m. whenever we we're at camps, you usually just sit in the dugout, and then right when the coach wants to start, he'll have you huddle around him, and he'll tell you what you're doing for the first part of things. You go grab your glove, you stretch, your throw. This coach made us go around, say our names, our schools, what our positions, and we had to bring it in and say the school name on 3, which I thought was stupid. And everyone's running for their gloves, and I kind of just stayed there a little bit. And this dude at 8 a.m., the coach pulls the lip out of his back pocket and opens it up. Put the pouch in the mouth, and that's, I knew right from there, 8 a.m., if you got to throw that in, then I'm just, you're not the guy for me.
Right.
And so that's why when I went up to Lebanon Valley, I actually did good at the camp. Coach liked me. He only, a couple guys went to his office after the camp. I was one of them. One of my teammates there is another guy that went there.
Mm-hmm.
And he, I don't know, we really knew that we were a good fit for each other, but I wasn't 100% sure that I wanted to play baseball. So my options at the end of the day were, because a lot of schools that I didn't want to go to baseball for, I didn't get in.
Mm-hmm.
I either wanted to go to Lebanon Valley College to play baseball or go to Monmouth, just to go to Monmouth. I thought it was a really cool campus.
Right.
Just different scenery.
Is Monmouth D3 as well?
It's D1.
Oh, okay.
And so I got offered the spot on LVC's team in mid-October. And I accepted it. I ended up committing there March 28th.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, the process took a while. My parents always during the process, like, you thinking about it? And I'm just like,
yeah, they're like on you, yeah, the whole time.
They're on me, like, are you doing any research or stuff? And it's just like, research doesn't mean anything. It's just,
You have to have that feel right away.
Yep, exactly. And yeah. It was the one time we went up for, it's called LVC Live.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of just walk around campus. There's a bunch of stuff you do with your family and all that. And when I went there, I just had a feeling that it was the fit. And I just knew something about it just felt right. And I knew from then that I was going to play, but I didn't really tell anyone. And I remember I came home from school one day.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually after a practice. I don't know what happened, but I just went up to my mom. I'm like, "Hey, Mom, I'm committing tonight." And she was like, "You're going to Lebanon Valley?" And she's like, and then she was all happy. My dad was all happy. And I was at California Tortilla with my friend Benny and Logan. Mm-hmm.
Love those guys.
And we ended up going, we ended up being there. And then my dad texted me the, like, what I want to say and thank all these people. There's like people he wanted me to thank. Mm-hmm. And instead of like doing it in front of my family, I posted it when I was at dinner with my friends. I thought that was kind of funny. But yeah, just pretty cool story there. I thought I'd share.
That's cool to hear your recruiting story. I've never heard that myself. And I've always wondered, like, what is like the first person view of an athlete that's about to commit to a school, like what that process goes through. And I really appreciate you telling that too.
Yeah, no problem.
And it also ties back, like, it's like that too in basketball. Like there's people that, you'd rather get playing time on a D3 school than like what, being the 12th man on Duke.
Yeah, exactly.
And not playing at all.
I mean, it's one thing that you win a ring, you win a national championship, you win an ACC championship if you're at Duke. But it's so hard to do that now. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'd rather contribute to a team than sit there and not play just to be at a big-name school. Definitely. I agree with you on that.
Right. Now, the next question I wanted to ask you is, of course, your season at Lebanon Valley got cut short because of the coronavirus pandemic. How did you and your teammates take that?
So, I'll kind of give you the rundown of what happened.
Okay.
So, we had our spring trip to Florida and South Carolina during our spring break. So, we never went home. So, we went to the break.
Mm-hmm.
We got back on a Sunday at like 2 in the morning, had the rest of the day to ourselves. Monday, we start class again. We had off that whole week. Our first game was on Friday against mm-hmm. Alvernia, I believe. We're going to play home versus Alvernia.
Right.
And we end up, after practice, we have a convenience store called the C Store.
Right.
And on campus, where we usually go and get like late night food. And so probably half the team's there. And every student gets an email at 9 p.m. that says, Lebanon Valley College is shutting down for the foreseeable future, aka 2 weeks. It was Thursday at 9 o'clock. You mm-hmm. had till Friday at midnight to move out. So we were still expected to go to class Friday. I didn't go to class Friday. I just started packing up that night. I packed up probably half my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I illegally parked my car just to have it near my dorm. Because there's not a lot of parking near the dorms. All the parking is way away. So it was hell trying to get my stuff in and out. And it was just like, it was really sad. Because it's people people you feel like you're so close with that you've only known for 5 or 6 months.
Oh, absolutely.
And all of a sudden, like, now it's 5 or 6 months and you're not with them.
Right.
And thinking about it, I think I've only seen 5 people from school.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 of them live 20 minutes away from me. 1 I saw because of baseball, and 2 are just my friends that I was visiting. And, I mean, other than that, I'm going up to school tomorrow to run a camp, so I'll see 3 more then. But, I mean, we're going back in 3 weeks anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of just lost Oh, okay, so the corona. I kind of was lost at
No, you're good, you're good.
I was at what the question was. So, we had a talk on Friday at 3 o'clock, I think. Our coach just said, have all your LVC baseball gear 3 p.m. in a locker room for a talk. And it was sad because, like, a lot of the seniors don't know if they're coming back or not.
Right.
We had a senior starting first baseman, third baseman, left field, right field, DH, and our top 2 arms are seniors. And so seniors contributed.
Right.
And as of now, we knew one was getting married, so it wasn't coming back on our starting center fielder. Our first baseman was supposed to get his master's in business at Bloomsburg. And we were supposed to have our DH do some physical therapy thing in Indiana, some big time. I don't understand physical therapy, so I don't know what it was. And so everyone got emotional. We were 10-2. We got some ranked votes. Like, we were a really good team.
Yeah.
We knew we were going to be good.
I was just about to say, you guys were doing pretty well at that time, too.
We went 9-0 on our spring trip. Some teams we just spanked, but, I mean, the last two teams, we played two ranked teams and beat them.
Mm-hmm.
We know we're going to be good. We're only losing our center fielder, but we definitely have young guys that can step in. So that Friday, we were in the locker room from 3 to 4:30. Our coach was in there for about 40 minutes, just thanked everyone for, like, their commitment, everything, how it's going to be sad there's no baseball.
Right.
Like, our coach is very involved on campus. He basically told us that, like, we were told we're leaving for 2 weeks and we have to pack everything up. They're not going to make you pack everything up if you're only going for 2 weeks.
That's true.
Like, coach was saying, like, this is it. So, I don't know. It was just really, really sad. And so what most guys did was we have a baseball house and a baseball apartment. All the guys that could stay, they slept at the house or the apartment Friday night. Saturday, we did one last, like, pitchers versus hitters game.
Right.
So the hitters pitched against the pitchers, and the pitchers hit. And we ended up doing that, and a bunch of parents and students came out, and it was actually, like, a big crowd. And we were just having fun. It was just, like, the final farewell. And it got really emotional at the end, because it was kind of like, a lot how, I think Derek Jeter came out this way. It was, like, the second, bottom of the ninth, two outs. They bring in a defensive sub for Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter gets the standing ovation. Everyone goes and hugs him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened with all the seniors, and everybody got emotional. It's funny. We were down one, runners on second and third, two outs, and we actually had, like, a big situation. I was on deck, and I was really looking forward to hitting, and I'm, like, right away I'm thinking, like, oh, now I can't hit. But, like, I don't know. It was just really emotional. It was hard. But, we knew we were done, and we ended up having, it was fun. And then I got in the car with my parents. We went out to eat at the one good restaurant up there, and then we head home.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, other than that, I haven't seen anybody. It's just sad, because we know how good we could have been. And I guess in the fall, everyone wasn't as committed, and there's kind of a lot of slacking off. But when we got in the spring, we kind of saw what we had and understood. We have some guys that are just, like, they could be playing better than Division III baseball. And we know that we're going to be good. It's a matter of how good we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And we went out of that when we were 10-2, and we were rolling 9-0. We had light practice that week. Guys were throwing. A couple guys were touching 90. I mean, we felt we were poised to do something special, and the sad part is we never got to see it happen.
Yep. And one thing I learned about NCAA athletics is there's not as much of a difference as people think there is between a D3 and a D1 athlete.
The commitment's there with both. I know at some schools, athletes are allowed to pick their classes first, pick their dorms first. Mm-hmm. And that's how it is at Kutztown.
Yeah.
But at Lebanon Valley College, everyone's the same. Everyone's treated equal. It's almost as if the student's treated more with more care than the athlete, because it's a really smart school. And it's just, I don't know. It would be cool to be in an atmosphere where, like, wow, you're an athlete kind of deal.
Yeah.
Like, but there's literally no feeling of that whatsoever at Lebanon Valley.
That's how
everyone's on the same playing field.
That's how I learned it really is on mm-hmm. D3 athletics. Like, everyone is really the same. There's really no privileges, I would say.
Yeah, there are no privileges, literally. Like, we had a scrimmage, and I wanted to go get my leg, something with my leg. I wanted to go get my leg stretched out in the trainer or something. There was a random person in there, and they were doing, like, a 20-minute test or something weird with, like, blood sugar or something.
Mm-hmm.
One was diabetic. And this, he wouldn't stretch me out for 3 minutes. So I literally waited in there for 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know how to explain it to my coach. So I just sent a picture and said, I don't know who this girl, I literally sent him a picture and said, I don't know who this girl is, but she's getting some sort of blood sugar test and I don't know what's going on. And so that happened. And I don't know. Yeah, there's just not, it's not what it seems to be as far as like, oh, you're an athlete, you're privileged. I mean, D1, like, there's more traveling. There's a team airplane. You go fly to Houston. Like, one of my good friends goes to West Virginia. He'll fly to Houston to play Texas Tech. He'll go to, he flew to it's Coastal Carolina North or South? I think it's
the Coastal South. Carolina. I think it's in the South.
Someone goes, pretty yeah, sure. Like they fly to South Carolina and just like they're missing a lot more class than we are.
Yeah, like a lot of their classes can be online.
Yeah.
During
exactly
school year.
And like, I don't know. I was talking to my friend and he said like for some guys there really is a thing where like if the person's grades aren't the best and like you could tell they're trying,
mm-hmm.
like some professors really will bump their grades up.
Yes. Yes.
That's a real thing. You don't see that in D3. I don't know if you see that in D2, but in D1 it's definitely a thing. I mean, D1 you get a bunch of gear and stuff. Like we had to buy our own baseball bags if we wanted an LVC baseball bag.
Really?
We got team rental sweatshirts to wear. Like it's like very bottom of the barrel. Like we weren't given we were given a white and a blue shirt that are our workout clothes, mm-hmm. and shorts. That's at Lebanon Valley Baseball. And then other than that, we really haven't got anything. And our hat.
Right.
But other than that, like, there's no, like, hand-me-outs giveaway kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
I wish there was. It'd be cool. I know other schools are like that. I see other guys, like, in my league, there's one of the really good hitters goes to Penn State Harrisburg. And he's got, like, 5 or 6 different Penn State Harrisburg shirts that he's just given.
Just, like, workout shirts, regular shirts in general?
Yeah. And it's just, like, why not us? But.
Exactly. I think that D3 athletics, they definitely should be given, you know, privileges that the D2 and D1 athletics get.
Definitely.
Because, like, there is a real ton of talent down there.
Mm-hmm.
As proven in the NFL draft, there was a D3 player drafted.
In the NFL draft?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there was a D2 player drafted in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
He went to the Patriots. But, I mean, there's guys, like even in MLB, there's D2, like D2 guys, D3 guys get drafted. Once you get drafted, you're on the same playing field as everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone's trying to make it to the starting lineup. Everyone's trying to make it to the major leagues. Everyone's trying to make it to the NHL. It's just a matter of getting drafted. And once you're there, you're there.
You just got to work for it. Chop at
exactly.
the bit to get to where you want to be like everybody else.
Yep.
All right. And one more question. How do you feel about Lebanon Valley Baseball this upcoming season? How do you think you guys are going to be?
It's going to be tough because we're looking around 50 players coming in total, 7 returning seniors, the rest of the guys that were on the team, and I think 14 freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
And some freshmen have guaranteed spots.
Right.
I know last year, I think we had 9. And having a good idea of the players that I know are going to make the team, I'm thinking there's about 10 spots for 25 guys.
Okay, okay.
And it's a matter of who's gonna shine, who's going to put in the work during the summer to shine in the fall, because we have a little fall season, which mm-hmm. everyone's invited to.
Fall ball.
Yeah, and coach will either, like there was a couple kids that he just cut on the way. Like our coach would always go to morning workouts. They were voluntary, but you were supposed to go.
Right.
There were a couple guys that just didn't go, cut them right away. Like, you're not committed, I don't want you. Some guys were able to, like, play, go through all fall ball, got cut. One kid actually, I think he got cut, and then coach was like, actually, I want you on the team.
So he pulled him back.
Yeah. He pulled him back because one of our shortstops quit.
Oh,
he
okay.
just said, this baseball commitment's too much. I don't have, like, the love for the game that I did. He was a good player. He contributed a lot in the year before I came.
Right. It's a shame when players lose that passion that
definitely.
They once had for the game. And you actually see a lot of that in college athletics. That can happen.
Most definitely. And I'm not saying that like my coaches are bad, but a lot of it is coach driven. A lot of it is like, if I'm not playing, why am I here?
Right.
And once people are at that top level, in my league, there's a third baseman that my year, I was a freshman last year. Mm-hmm. He's at Notre Dame.
Right.
And he got there, played a good bit in the fall. They did a little like, they had two other D1 teams right around them they scrimmaged with. Right when the season started, he got like two defensive appearances and that's it. And so he knew he was transferring out because like he knew he did well in the fall and the coaches made it seem like he was going to be a contributor.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's nowhere to be seen. And now I forget where he's transferring to, but I know he's transferring.
Wow. All right, that's just about all I have for you today, Tommy.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thank you for coming on. It was a really fun conversation. Hopefully I can have you on again sometime.
Yeah, most definitely. We can talk about just about any sport but hockey. Not a big hockey guy.
Got you. Anyways, thank you for coming on, Tommy.
Thank you for having me, JP. I appreciate it.
All right, tune in next Sunday for the next episode of Collegeville Conversation. As always, I'm your host, Jason Phelan. Have a good one.